don't you all appreciate Steve coming every other week to play for us? We're thankful for you, Steve. Thanks. So good morning, everybody. It's good to see you again, and good to see everybody who's come out this morning. And I have just a really quick announcement. The rest of the announcements, we have a paper in the back as you come in. They're on a paper like this, front and back. Has a lot of announcements for you. But the most important one this week would be the paper that looks like this out in the lobby on the credenza. This is the order form for Easter flowers to order them, okay? This is the last week. If you could fill out your paper today and put money or a check in an envelope like this, and then either put it in the offering plate or who could they hand
this
it to?
Office.
The office slot in the window there at the office, you can put it there, okay? So it'd be nice to fill the front up with Easter flowers Easter Sunday morning. Okay. So I would like to read from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
And as we come together this morning, let us prepare our hearts for prayer. And if you do have a prayer request, there is a green card in your pew that you can fill out, and you can put that on the offering plate, or you can give it to me, and we'll make sure that we get that to the prayer chain and send a prayer email out so everybody's praying for it, and that way we know what's going on, how we can support you and encourage you, and how we can pray for you. So the little green card that's in the pew. And again, if you're visiting with us today, we welcome you, and there's a little yellow card you can fill out and drop that on the offering plate. We'd love to know more about you this morning. So let us pray together. Lord God, we come now before you and we give you thanks and praise for being in your house of worship here today. We pray, God, that as we come, that we'd focus on you and your spirit would just fall anew on us, God, that you would fill us, that you'd be pleased what we have to give back to you with our worship, God, that we're here not because of us, but because of you. And so this morning, Lord, we commit our way to you, we commit our hearts to you, we commit our act of worship to you this morning, Lord. And we ask also that you would pour out your spirit upon the offering that has been collected this morning, God, that this continues to go to reach individuals for you, that you would bless the offering and bless the ministries that it's used to continue to make disciples for your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we come now, we give you thanks and praise, and we invite you into this place of worship now. Amen. Please stand if you're able to worship. If you're not able, that's okay. You can remain seated. But let us join together and let us praise our Lord and Savior.
Sin and
remain standing as we sing In the Garden.
Still.
may be seated. This morning, we'll be looking at a new sermon series called God Is. And through the next several weeks, we'll be looking at different things of how God is still speaking, how God is still listening. And then on Easter Sunday, we'll look at how God is still pursuing, even when we come to the resurrection scene on Easter morning, and see how he was still pursuing Mary at the tomb. And I think it's a very important sermon series, because in a day and age where we say, okay, God, where are you? How come you feel distance? How come I can't hear you? How come I'm not sure if you're listening to me? Are you still there? Are you still pursuing me? That I think this sermon series will be very impactful for our day and age with everything going on in the world. We have questions about God. So let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, God, that we would hear from you and have our ears, Lord, just allow us to hear that small, still voice speak to us today. We pray the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. When we look at the aspect of God is, I think we have to realize that God didn't only pursue people in the Bible, but he is still pursuing you and I today. That he didn't just restore people in the Bible, but he is restoring us today. That he provided for people in the Bible, and he's providing for us today. And that is God and what God does. God has not changed over time. He is still the same individual. When Abraham said, "Who are you?" he said, "I am that I am." He is the same one when Moses said, "Well, who is it that I tell the Pharaoh, sit me?" And he said, "Say that I am that I am." He is still I am that I am. He has not changed from generation to generation. He is eternal, self-existent, infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God who has not changed since the beginning of time. And today, I want us to focus on the part of how is God still speaking to us today in the year 2022? Now we know about Scripture and how when we look at Scripture that it's the inspired Word of God, and that when we look at the stories of the Bible that that was the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God that breathed into them. And it's interesting because if you go to the very first chapter of Genesis chapter 1, if you count how many times the phrase is, "and God said," you will find that it's 10 times in Genesis chapter 1 where we find, "and God said." Whatever he spoke came into existence or was fulfilled because God spoke and God said. We look in the Old Testament as Moses leads them out in the wilderness, that God spoke through the fiery cloud. He spoke through the pillar of smoke. He spoke through the priests. As we get into the kings, that he spoke through David, the prophets. If we look through Samuel, who anointed King Saul and anointed David. We look at Nathanael, who confronted David when he sinned. And we go through with Jeremiah, and you go through with all the prophets that God used to speak. Speaking through different individuals that he raised up. We find in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, that God spoke through his son Jesus as well. Hebrews 1, "Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Now, I want to note that last part of this verse here. "Whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Meaning that Jesus was present at creation. That Jesus was there. From the beginning of creation to when he came and walked amongst us, that God was speaking through his son Jesus all through time and eternity. Then we look at the aspect of how God speaks to us, that God still speaks to us today through his son Jesus. Now the question we have this morning is, do we believe that God speaks to us? Do we believe that God still speaks to us. And if he does, why is it sometimes we don't hear him? You see, that's the important question we need to start with today, is the aspect of, do we believe that God still speaks today? When was the last time we might have heard God speak to us? And I'm not saying it was a loud, audible, booming voice that called you by name, but the way that maybe God used something in your life where you knew it was God deliberately speaking to you through whatever event was occurring. We find that in Exodus 3 that Moses had one of those encounters of divine intervention that was through circumstance, but also he was able to have an encounter with God. And if you go to Exodus chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out of him the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Why was this such a strange encounter? Well, you'll say, well, Pastor Tom, obviously there's a bush being burned and God's speaking through the bush. It's a talking bush. Well, let's look at Moses. Moses turned and hid his face because he was afraid to look at God, because Moses wasn't expecting God to speak to him. Moses ran from Egypt because he killed an Egyptian. He was now tending to sheep as a shepherd out in the wilderness. He married again and he had some kids, and he was not expecting God to speak to him. And when God spoke to him, he was afraid and he didn't know what to do with it. And he hid his face because he was not expecting God to speak to him. Does that happen to us so many times when all of a sudden God speaks and we're surprised and we're taken back because we're like Moses and we just aren't expecting God to speak to us? When he does, we're afraid because we have no expectation that we're going to hear from God at all. I don't know how many of you have done a devotional series called The Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King. I highly recommend it. It's a day-by-day thing where you can journal and read some scriptures, and it talks about the different ways that you can experience God and how God speaks to us and how we encounter God. And in the Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King, they take Exodus 3 and they kind of break it down here with four things that is going on when God speaks to Moses. The first is, they said, when God spoke, it is usually unique to the one individual. Think about that. When you look in Scripture, it is unique to the one individual. It was unique to Moses. It was very different than when Abraham talked to God. It was very different when Elijah talked to God, when Jeremiah talked to God, when David talked to God. Every experience is unique. It's not the same experience. And when God speaks to us, it's not a one-size-fit-all formula that we can all say, yes, this is what I'm expecting, this is how God speaks, and I'll know he'll speak to me. Because it's all unique based upon who we are and our relationship with him. The second thing is, they said, when God spoke, the person was sure it was God speaking. Meaning that God would introduce himself. I am the God of I am, or I am the God of Abraham. That God would always introduce himself to let you know it was him that was speaking. Then when God spoke, the person knew what God said. That there wasn't, you walked away and said, I wasn't quite clear on that, God. What was it you said? Or can you say it one more time? I kind of didn't get that. That when they walked away from the encounter of God, they knew exactly what God had said. They didn't doubt what needed to be done. They might have tried to get out of it, like in Moses' case, when the burning bush was speaking to him. And he said, I can't do what you're calling me to do. And he gave all the excuses in the world. He understood, though, what God wanted from him. And then he tried to negotiate with God why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. But he was very clear with it. And when God spoke, it was a true encounter with God. It wasn't like, okay, we're just smoke and mirrors. Is this a magic trick? Is somebody trying to prank me? That they knew it was a true experience they were having with God, that they were in God's presence. Now this morning you might sit here and go, well, Pastor Tom, that is great. When you look at the Old Testament, individuals heard those audible voices. In Moses' case, he had a burning bush and God spoke to him. But Pastor Tom, let's be realistic. There's no burning bushes around today, and God doesn't speak to me in an audible voice like he spoke to David and Jeremiah and Elijah and Abraham and Moses. So, Pastor Tom, that's all great, but how do I know that God still speaks to me today? How can I know that it's God who is talking to me? How do I know that God isn't silent, just like he was from the end of the Old Testament to the New Testament, that God went silent, off the charts, didn't say anything until Jesus was born? How do we know God's not silent? Well, I think when we look at this, we have to realize that when we come here, we need to look at the fact of Jesus and the relationship we have with Jesus. And if we're feeding that relationship, if we're developing that relationship, then we know that God will speak through his Son, as we read earlier in our previous scripture here. That's in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, because they follow me. We hear Jesus' voice if we are his sheep and we're following him. That is the I am still speaking. God saying that I am still here, and he speaks through his creation. That when we look around outside, that God speaks to us through his creation. That when you look at Psalm 19, 1 through 2, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork, and day to day pours out his speech, night unto night, to reveal his knowledge. Imagine that. When was the last time we went outside and we just were not in awe, but we realized, wow, that's God speaking right now? When was the last time that you stood up in the starry sky and you said, wow, look at all the stars up there. That is a God thing. That is just so amazing. When was the last time you looked at a huge mountain range and said, wow, that is very impressive? Because God speaks to our creation when we take a step back and we begin to appreciate the things around us. We can begin to see that when you go to the beach and the ocean comes up and the foam from the ocean comes to the sand and the waves roll back. That's God speaking to us in the stillness of things, saying, I am here, I am with you. When you watch the sunrise or sunset, it is God speaking to us, saying, I am here with you. That there's something greater still going on behind the scenes. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Paul tells us why sometimes we have a hard time seeing God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And these things that have been made, so man is without excuse. It's plain to see, because when you look at creation, we see God's invisible attributes as he speaks to us through creation. Think about the little tiny ant, folks, that when we're walking and we see those anthills and those little tiny ants in the summertime, and yeah, sometimes they drive us crazy because they might get us, get in our houses or whatever, but if you watch an ant and the thing that ants can carry, sometimes I'm just sitting back going, how in the world does this little tiny ant carry that big thing that they're just strolling along with? Think about the design of the ant, and think about the ant and how strong the ant is, as small as it is. Think about when you have a garden and you have to go out and kind of weed it out before you plant it, and then you plant it, and then you tend to it, and you have to still take weeds out. Sometimes the garden you're planting will die. Sometimes it'll regrow. But there's that cycle of death and rebirth in the garden that we see how God is renewing creation, how God speaks to even gardening folks, to us. He says the dead is gone, the new has come. How about if you right now just put your finger on your arm and checked your pulse and felt your beating pulse? Or if you just took a second just to breathe in and breathe out, it's God speaking, saying you are valuable, you are wonderfully made, and you are here because I'm still speaking to you and I'm not done with you. The Creator is trying to get our attention through creation. God also speaks to us through our conscience. We all have a conscience. We all know what right and wrong is. In Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." Paul's saying here, the Gentiles don't have the law and don't know the law the way the Jewish people do, but yet they still have a conscience and they still have conflicting thoughts that either say, you should do this or you shouldn't do that. Today we would call that the power of the Holy Spirit being our conscience and guiding us. Because there's a difference from just relying on our gut feeling and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to do this based upon my gut, and really relying on our conscience, the Holy Spirit, saying, you know what, you know you shouldn't do it, so why are you doing it? There's a difference from allowing our conscience be our guide of the Holy Spirit instead of just letting our gut and our emotions be our guide. Because when we let our emotions and our gut be our guide, then we are living in that sinful nature, and sin will always say, do what's best for you and not what God wants. God speaks to us through our conscience, meaning the fact we know what we should do and we shouldn't do. And when we do the things we shouldn't do, that nagging feeling, that feeling in the pit of your stomach where it feels like it's like a knot in there, is the Holy Spirit convicting us and saying, you know what, you need to get this right. You need to confess this sin that you just did. You need to tell God that you're sorry and get back on track with Him. It's not indigestion, folks, when we do those things and we make bad decisions and we sin and we say, you know what, well, maybe I just had a little something last night for dinner, was too spicy. No, it's the Holy Spirit convicting us when we make decisions that are not good and we give into sin. We have to be wise and exercise discernment. For Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He puts eternity into man's heart. Because if we're created after God's own heart and image, then we know what God wants from us, and we don't have an excuse. We know the desire for justice to take place and wrongs be made right. That's our conscience. We know, you know what, there was a wrong that occurred here. It needs to be made right. Instead of turning a blind eye and saying, you know what, who cares? Doesn't matter to me. No, we know when there's a wrong that we need to do our best to try to right that wrong. We know these things are not just because they happen, but because of the fact they're in our hearts, and we know them because of the conscience that God created us with. We also hear God speak through our circumstances, as well as the circumstances of other individuals. Now, this is again where this discernment of the Holy Spirit comes in, knowing, well, how do I know this is God speaking through my circumstance or through that of another individual's circumstance? We have to be careful how we interpret those circumstances, but God does speak through our circumstances. That something will happen, and you'll kind of say, what's going on here? Where did this come from out of the blue? And God will work through that circumstance to point you to Him, to speak to Him, to show you what He's trying to do in your life. Many times God uses crisis to get our attention at times. Many times God will use circumstances to say, hey, remember me? It's time to get back on track with me. And nothing happens by coincidence, folks. and creation, our conscience, and our circumstances, or what we would call in the theology world general revelation. Meaning, this is how God has revealed himself for all of us to see. And you don't have to be a theologian to have gone to Bible school or to go to seminary to begin to look at the aspect we call special revelation, which is how God begins to reveal himself further in Scripture. General revelation is that term of very simple, open your eyes and you'll see me. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, when you wake up in the morning, when you go outside, that there's no excuse of why we can't say that God is there and God is still speaking to us. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, before there was anything, God, Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Word was with God. Jesus was with God at the creation of the world. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh, dwelt among us, that we could have a glimpse of his glory. Because if we've seen the Father, we've seen Jesus. Because remember what Jesus said in John 14 to his disciples? Thomas says, well, how do we know where you're going, Lord? And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. If we have experienced Jesus in our lives, then we have experienced the Father and have seen the Father. Because if we've seen Jesus, then we have seen the Father as well through our experiences in life. That Jesus is the final and the full revelation of who God is. How can we recognize the voice of Jesus? How do we get to know the voice of Jesus? Well, the bottom line is if we want to hear God speak to us, then that means we have to go back to Scripture and really look at Scripture, folks. We have to look at the canon of Scripture. And what we mean by the word canon means standard or measuring stick. How do I know God's speaking to me? Well, get the measuring stick out. Get the Bible out. Explore the Bible. Dive in the Bible. Begin to say, okay, how did God speak to others? What circumstances did God use when he spoke to other individuals? How were other individuals' lives changed? I think about David when he sinned with Bathsheba and Nathan confronted him. But Nathan didn't just come in and say, hey, David, I need to talk to you. Guess what? You know what you did. There's consequences for it, David. Now you better get it right. No, what did Nathan do? Nathan came in and he gave an analogy to David. He said, you know what? There was this owner. He had this young lamb and he took care of it of his own. And he was very poor and he had a rich neighbor. And well, that rich neighbor had a visitor come in. And so instead of taking from his own flock, he went over and he took the lamb from the individual that was his neighbor that was poor. The only lamb he had, he took it, he killed it, and he gave it to the visitor to eat. David jumps up and says, well, that man needs to pay. And Nathan says, well, that's you, David. You're that man. David was using an illustration, or Nathan was using an illustration to get to David's heart and David's attention to what God really wanted to say to David, which was, your heart needs to be restored, David. We need to get into the Bible. It's our measuring stick. It is authoritative in nature. It's not, well, that's a good book to have. It's absolute truth. It doesn't change. We don't begin to go back today and say, well, let's add on to it now. We don't like these passages, so let's take these passages out. Let's amend the Bible. Let's just kind of not look at the ones that we don't like. Melanie and I were talking about this week as I've been going through 1 Samuel and reading about David, and the more I read about David in 1 Samuel, I'm like, holy cow, how would I ever preach a sermon on this? Because if you look at 1 Samuel, folks, and you look at David's life when he's king, there's not some good stuff in there, folks. How do you deal with that? But it's in there, and you have to wrestle with it. You can't just dismiss it and say, well, I'm only going to pick the good parts that I like. The other stuff I'm just ignoring because I don't like that. The Bible is authoritative. Everything in it. You can't pick and choose, folks. Because God says, this is my word. This is how I speak to you. A few of the passages I love from Scripture are Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of my mouth will not pass away. Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, and joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's why we don't like the Bible, folks. That's why as churches we're deviating from the Bible, because all scripture here is like a two-edged sword, piercing the vision of our soul and our spirit, discerning our thoughts and intentions, and we don't like that. So as a church universal now, we begin to water down the Bible. We begin to say, you know what, that's not really what it means, and because we don't like it when our soul gets pierced and we get convicted. The Bible convicts us. God speaks to us through the Bible to convict us. And we don't like to be convicted. So therefore, we kind of just say, well, you know what? That's probably not really the intention of those verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. 1 Peter 1, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God speaks through his word. That is why time alone with God is so important. That is why getting in the word on our own is so important, allowing God to speak through his Holy Spirit through the word of God, allowing the counsel of the Holy Spirit of John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whoever hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you that things are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That as we get into scripture, as we get in that measuring stick, that standard, the Holy Spirit counsels us and directs us. But there's also a final way that God speaks to us, and that is church. That's why church is so important, folks. That God speaks to us through coming here on a Sunday morning and being together as the body of Christ. Romans chapter 10. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him if they've never heard? And how are they to hear about someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? For again, as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. We talked about this passage a few weeks ago. How good are the feet and beautiful are those that preach the good news. You can't do that if you're not nourishing your relationship and you're not coming to church. Getting the wisdom from other individuals in the church, talking to people, praying with people, surrounding yourself with other people, allowing people to say, you know what, well, let's wrestle with this passage of scripture together. And we begin to dive more into God's word and asking God to speak to us. That when we come to church, that we look to each other as being wise counselors and saying, how can we give clarity? How can we support each other and encourage each other? How can we continue on our journey? God speaks to his church. It means it's important to be in church, to be filled with the Spirit, so that we're able to come to church and discern what we're learning on our own and working together. Why does this matter? Well, because one, it holds us accountable that when we say the word of God is the absolute truth, the measuring stick, and we come to church and we say something different, that we're held accountable saying, wait a second, we need to talk about that a little bit more. Because you know what? There are certain things in which God has spoken. It's very clear there are no gray areas in. If you look at scripture, scripture is very clear about sexual immorality. Avoid it. Stay away from it. Before marriage and in your marriage, stay away from it. Giving, have an open hand, be generous, love justice, the Ten Commandments, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet, worship the Lord your God, have no other idols before me. Scripture is very clear on God's intent for what marriage should be. There are things in which the Bible is very clear about, that there is not a negotiation, there's not a gray area, but what we have done is we've said, well, this is a little gray area when it comes to sexual immorality. This is a little gray area when we're talking about marriage and what marriage should be. This is a little gray area of what it means to covet or not covet. Or this is, it's not a gray area, folks. These are things that are plain spoken, not open for negotiation in God's Scripture. But the reason that we come to church and we wrestle with this is because there are some gray areas. For instance, should I take this new job or shouldn't I take this new job? I've been praying about it. I don't know. Gray area. The Bible doesn't say, well, yes, Pastor Tom, this is what you should do. How about the fact of, should I go ahead and should I move location? Should I buy a different house than what I'm in? Should I buy a different car? All these things that are gray areas that we take for granted. Do I take that next step in that relationship? Maybe you're dating somebody or you're not sure what's going on. Well, what's that next step? You discernment. The Bible doesn't say, well, this is what you should do, X, Y, and Z. Believe me, I wish it would in these gray areas of these circumstances that come up in my life. I wish I had that magic eight ball that I could say yes or no and shake it and it will tell me yes or no. That's why we have the church, so we can wrestle with these things together. We can get advice from each other and say, well, have you thought about this? Or what about this? And things become clear because God is speaking through his church to give us discernment on those gray areas that are not spelled out exactly in the Bible. That's how God allows his Holy Spirit to clarify things with us. God is still speaking today, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe that in my own life, if I've seen it as I've been sitting down doing something. And this week, it was just kind of funny because Melly and I were having a conversation at lunch on Friday. And then a few hours later, I got a message from somebody. And I was just like, all right, that's really weird. We were just talking about this, and I just got this message from somebody. And it was exactly what we were talking about. And it just didn't happen by chance. It was a God thing that God was speaking. God was giving clarity. God was saying, okay, I'm going to use that conversation you had at lunch, and I'm going to continue to work behind the scenes and continue that conversation with somebody else that wasn't even at your conversation at lunch, didn't even know what you were talking about at lunch. Because God still speaks to us. God is still alive and well. Thinking about Moses, he was in the desert for 40 years. Well, thanks, Pastor Tom. It's going to be another 40 years before I hear from him. Well, I might be dead before that happens, Pastor Tom. You mean I got to wait 40 years for God to speak to me just like Moses? That's not what I'm saying. The question is what was Moses doing in those 40 years? Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Exodus 3 said, that Moses was going about his daily routine, and all of a sudden God showed up. As Moses was going through his daily routine, and it changed Moses' life forever. Maybe you're in that period of your time right now, your walk with God, and you say, God's silent. And that's okay, because we have to be patient. We don't like to be patient. But God is going to speak, and when God speaks, are we going to be ready for it? That God is waiting to speak to us. So what happens when we feel that God's silent? Well, keep reading your Bible, keep studying your Bible, keep praying, keep coming to church, keep walking in the truth. Don't waver, don't conform. Keep surrendering to God. Continue to give him your heart each and every day, even when it feels like God is silent. And then as you're about your daily business and routine like Moses, God will speak to you and you'll say, wow, holy cow, I wasn't expecting that. That was pretty cool. But we have to expect that God is going to speak to us. Keep doing those things. Do not waver. Do not conform. And always, first and foremost, remember, the Bible is absolute truth. It doesn't change on our society. It doesn't change by laws that are passed in our country. The Bible is God's truth for our lives. And if we listen closely as we're reading, You know the one thing I love about 1 Samuel? Is we always say that, well, David's a man after God's own heart. And I'm like, man, I can never be like David. And all of a sudden, after David becomes king, whoa, my word, guess what happens? His life goes down here pretty quick, folks. And I'm going through Samuel. I'm reading through Samuel. I'm like, holy cow, David did that? That happened to David? Holy cow, wow, I never knew that. And I'm beginning to go, well, you know what? That if God can use David, if God considered David to be a man after his own heart, well, there's hope for me yet. That as I'm reading Samuel, that God is speaking to me and God is saying, you know what, Pastor Tom? David was the man I chose. But yet David still faltered, made mistakes, and did things. But yet, I still gave him hope. And there's hope for you. That's what Scripture does for us, folks. It gives us hope. So today, I hope as you leave this place, and as you go about your daily routine, that you will make time for God by reading and praying, but that you will truly, truly expect God to speak. And when He does, your life will never be the same. This morning, just wanted to bring your attention to the words that will be on this video that will be playing here next before we continue our worship.
For our walk in this world, they
continue with our joyful worship as we sing Wonderful Words of Life.
Wonderful words of life. You know what the beauty when you look at Scripture is? And you look at the life of Jesus and you look at everything God has done through creation. It's all done when you look at it for our relationship with Him this way and our relationship with each other this way, bringing us back to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do to us and speaking to us and bringing us back to His Son. And saying, this is what I say about our relationship with each other and God, and this is how we can live together in community with each other. So as we go today, let's have ears open, our eyes open, our hearts open, that we might hear God speak to us. May the grace, the mercy of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go with you now forevermore as God speaks to you.